You're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM, listener-supported community radio. This is the Old Mole Variety Hour. Next on the Old Mole, Jan Hawken talks with Taylor Gibson about May Day events this year and the PRO Act. Jan?
Welcome to KBOO, Taylor Gibson, and thank you for joining me to talk about events this Saturday and celebration of May Day, which many countries and communities around the world recognize as Labor Day or International Workers' Day.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, although the September date of the holiday in the U.S. was established to repress its radical roots in the late 19th century labor movement, May Day continues in the U.S. as a time to both celebrate and organize in support of workers' solidarity. So, Taylor Gibson, you are co-chair of a campaign launched by the Portland chapter of DSA, or the Democratic Socialists of America, which is part of a national campaign in support of the PRO Act. Can you tell us about the PRO Act, this House resolution, and why it's so important this May Day?
Yeah, of course. So the PRO Act is the Protecting the Right to Organize Act. And there are six key components of what the PRO Act would do. The first thing it would do would be to override right-to-work laws and collect union dues from those who opt out in order to cover the cost of collective bargaining and the administration of contracts. It would also forbid employer interference in union elections, and that includes things like captive audience meetings and being able to cast a ballot in a union election in a location away from company property. Oftentimes, union organizing drives fail to result in an agreement on the first contract between labor and management, and the PRO Act would remedy this by allowing newly certified unions to seek arbitration and mediation to settle those negotiation impasses. It would also prevent an employer from using its employees' immigration status against them when determining the terms of their employment. It's very common in union elections for employers to threaten to tell their undocumented workers that they'll call ICE or threaten to revoke a work permit as a consequence for supporting a union drive. It would also establish monetary penalties for companies and executives that violate workers' rights. Currently, that doesn't happen. So corporate directors and other officers of a company could also be held liable. Currently, if management is found in violation by the NLRB of unfair employment practices, all they have to do is post a sign saying that they were found in violation, which doesn't really do anything. So it would give some more teeth to this. And then finally, the bill would also enable more people currently classified as contractors to be given the status of employees, which would pave the way for freelancers and gig workers to negotiate better pay and working conditions.
So this act and the fact that the PRO Act passed the House, but still faces stiff odds in the Senate. I believe it's now in the Committee on Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions in the Senate. It faces the usual forces arrayed against workers. But how do you see this as signaling perhaps a shift in the anti-union culture that is so deep in American politics?
I think the popularity of it within a lot of Democratic senators demonstrates the popularity and the resurging ideas around workplace organizing and the importance of union is really returning. I think when a lot of those right-to-work laws were passed in the Midwest and around the rest of the country in the 2000s, it resulted in almost essentially a generation being without understanding the importance of employee organizing, as well as the importance of how unions can make workers' rights so much better.
It seems like over the last year, there's both been the difficulty, as we saw with the Amazon warehouse in Bessemer, Alabama, and the difficulty in gathering and doing a lot of the organizing that's so essential for those campaigns. On the one hand, that's been difficult this year to organize campaigns. On the other hand, the pandemic has heightened the dependence of the entire society on essential labor, on workers, often people carrying out care work or other forms of work that makes them vulnerable to the health impacts and the inequities that have been exposed by the pandemic. Do you think some of the organizing around the PRO Act has these two sides, both reflecting the some of the difficulties this year, as well as kind of a call for a different kind of society that requires forms of solidarity and cooperation support that really departs from the neoliberal worldview where everyone's kind of out on their own to make their way?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right in that COVID has really demonstrated how poorly workers in this country are treated. I think the demands for service workers, specifically line cooks, are some of the people that are dying the most in this pandemic. Teachers have been treated poorly, given that, you know, they're concerned about their working conditions. Care workers, all of these essential positions that typically don't have any union support behind these workers. I think the pandemic is really demonstrating just how important workplace organizing and unions are for worker protections. And so specifically with Amazon, what's really interesting is, although I think it's a little early for a full postmortem on what happened in Bessemer, there are a few things that I think are important to know. One being the powerful impact of employer intimidation and interference. Amazon worked very hard to mislead and manipulate their workers. They took full advantage of terrible labor laws, including hiring union-busting consultants, requiring mandatory hour-long anti-union meetings. They launched anti-union social media accounts and websites, and they blanketed the facility with posters and banners, even in the bathrooms. I mean, Amazon even had traffic light patterns changed at intersections where organizers were canvassing, and even installed its own U.S. Postal Service mailbox in front of the facility to collect ballots. And a lot of these things would be forbidden by the PRO Act. And I think another thing is that the campaign came together very quickly. I mean, it can take years to build trust with your coworkers to organize a union campaign, especially when it's, as you know, at a company as large as Amazon, where there's thousands of different employees. The way Amazon functions also makes it incredibly difficult to build a culture of organizing when your job performance is determined by how fast you're moving in the facility and you've got something tracking your activity all day long. I mean, it's very intentional on Amazon's end.
Can you speak to the PRO Act as as part of the broader movement for racial justice and international solidarity that includes immigrant rights? Because that has been traditionally part of the May Day celebration, is the focus on international labor solidarity, that one country's workforce gets pitted against another. And that has been also a part of what we're aware of in the world of trade during the pandemic, how interdependent the world is around health issues, around trade and economies. How does the PRO Act, how do you see it as part of a larger movement around international labor solidarity?
Sure. A couple of things. So a lot of right-to-work laws are actually rooted in the history of Jim Crow. Back in the 40s, you had Arkansas and Florida becoming the first two states in the country to enact right-to-work laws. And these were anti-union measures that were meant to prevent what industrialists and planners, both in the North and the South, what they saw as interracial organizing's threat to the current, at the time, racial and economic order. And these laws were passed by ballot initiatives at a time when Black people in this country were being lynched for attempting to exercise their right to vote. And then, of course, you know, we saw these laws expanded throughout the Midwest and other parts of the country in the mid-2000s. And this intersection of workplace democracy and racial justice has never been more visible and important. I think what's important to keep in mind is that over 80% of the Amazon warehouse workers in Bessemer are Black, and the majority of them are women. And this trend is consistent with recent labor history organizing across the South. I mean, Black women have been leading unionization efforts for the last 50 years, including efforts in textile factories, auto plants, shipyards, meat processing plants, as well as hospitals. And two-thirds of union workers are women or people of color and immigrants, refugees, and migrant workers. Black women, Black union women, earn 19% more than women without a union, and Black construction workers in New York City earn 36% more than non-union Black construction workers. Union wage premiums are the largest for low-wage sectors where jobs are primarily held by Black, Latinx, and immigrant workers in industries such as hospitality, nursing, and janitorial services. Union workers in food service and in janitorial jobs make about 87% more in total compensation and over 50% more in wages than non-union workers. And so I think what's important to know is that labor organizing and your workplace rights are essential to racial justice and racial equity. I mean, union workers not only get paid more, but they're more likely to have employer-provided health care plans and pensions and have much more vacation time. And in the wake of this most recent pandemic, there's ample evidence that unions create safe workplaces by enabling workplace democracy and protection from retaliation.
Taylor Gibson, tell us what will be happening this Saturday on May Day, which is not only a time to organize around initiatives or resolutions like the PRO Act, but also to build labor culture and to celebrate and mourn, to have picnics. And there's a festive side to May Day as well as a organizing aspect, and the two are intertwined. What's happening this Saturday on May Day here locally?
Sure. We have a lot of really exciting events coming up. The Portland DSA chapter is focused on a day of action, focused on organizing and solidarity and celebration. So we've got several events that we're a part of that we're really excited about. The morning activity is a rally to end the filibuster. Specifically, we are focused on targeting Rod Wyden to put pressure on him to end the filibuster, because a lot of people believe that the only way that we're going to get the PRO Act passed is by ending that filibuster. Jeff Merkley is already on board. Ron Wyden still wants some form of a talking filibuster. So we're meeting at Holiday Park at 11 a.m. and we'll be marching to Ron Wyden's office to put the pressure on him. And then in the afternoon, we've got two other events that we're a part of. There is a May Day Migrant Workers Rise Up event. It is a car caravan hosted by the International Migrants Alliance, NAFCON Oregon, Pacific Coast Coalition for Seafarers, Portland Through a Latinx Lens, and Migrante Portland. And so that will be a car caravan, and that is a really great option for folks who may not necessarily be able to or feel comfortable attending any events in person, because everyone will obviously be in their cars. And then we also have in the afternoon a May Day rally hosted by our local Amazon Worker Solidarity Campaign at Columbia Park from 12 to 6. And that's really going to be a celebration of International Workers' Day with speakers, entertainment, and food.
Okay, so get that picnic basket ready. There's a lot going on this Saturday. Where should listeners find out more of these details?
Folks can check out the Portland DSA website, and there are also a few links to social media posts with all that organizing, which I will send to you.
And we'll post that on our KBOO site as well. Taylor Gibson, thank you so much for being with us today and talking about the campaign, the PRO Act campaign, which is nationally launched by DSA as well as with the local chapter, and for your work with the coalition around these efforts. Thanks so much for being with us, and keep up the good work.
Thanks for having me.